Of the Record Report. My name is Ahmad. As always, I'm joined by Vance. Say what's up to the people.
Yo, this is your boy Vance B. What's up, people? How y'all doing? Y'all good? Welcome back. We're glad to have you.
Yes, I'm weird. Yes. Thank you so much for jumping back in. Thank you so much for giving us another listen. We were so happy to, I'm so happy for this album. I think this is one of my selections. This album means a lot. It was, I can't wait to talk about it. It's so much fun. We go back across the pond. We did a little early in the season with Little Sims. We were back across the pond to London. But not only are we going across the pond, we're also going back in time. This week, we are listening to the debut album for the 70s band, Simonde. Let's go.
Yeah, it's jazz and shit, so.
You said jazz and shit, sort of. Simonde was released 1972. The band, it was a self-titled album, self-titled debut album of the band. The album peaked at 85 on Billboard's top LPs of the time, and it was led by two singles, The Message and Bra. The Message was their most successful song from this album at one point in time, but it was succeeded by Bra, which kind of reached to number 22 on Billboard charts, so it's probably also their first biggest hit, I guess you could say. Vance, this album, please tell me, what was it like playing this for the first time? Because this was your first time listening to the band original album. You heard other singles, but this is their first time. What was it like?
So, yes, the first single I heard was Brothers on the Slab. Not on this project, and I was not really surprised. Like, I knew it was on another project, but I was interested in actually listening to their music because I was looking for more jazz to begin with, you know what I'm saying, aside from like club bangers. And when you picked this one, I was like, okay, all right, this is the cover's already intriguing to me because it's very different. You know what I'm saying? It felt like it was hand painted instead of it being like something like made by a computer. Mm-hmm. But when I started actually diving into the album and listening to it, like, it was really dope to hear so many different international influences that come off of the project. The fact that there's so many, like, you got reggae, you got African influenced music, you got a little bit of like funk in it. Well, shit, not even a little bit, but you got a lot of funk in there.
A lot of funk.
A lot of like funky breaks. You know what I'm saying? It felt like it was hip hop before hip hop was actually something. You feel like somebody could rap over some of those breaks. You know what I'm saying? And it just made me appreciate music that come from this generation a little bit more because I didn't really know about this group. You know what I'm saying? I knew about Brothers on the Slide, but that was kind of like a new thing because I heard it on Snowfall, and then I heard it again at a food hall, a Japanese food hall. So to actually dig into their album and their debut at that, it set the tone for the quality of music that they were making at the time. Mm-hmm. And the fact that at this time, you could still be influenced by music across the world instead of just one place, even at a point where it wasn't like the internet. And, you know, at one point, like, one genre or one artist can fit one genre. This is like first time I'm experiencing like a group from the past that is experimental with different genres in this way and very fluid with it. So yeah, I really fuck with this project. At points it was kind of like, it took me time to get really into it, but when I'm like doing shit and, you know, I threw it in rotation throughout my day, like, yeah, it helped get the job done.
Man, great points. With all that, I would add, I think one thing that was so intrigued by this was just doing a little bit of research, because they're such a mystery to me. I don't really know. I never really remember hearing about them. My dad wasn't too familiar, nor was my mother. And I got a lot of my music from that era came from, like, through them, right? So when I both asked my mom, they was like, I remember this vaguely. They remember Brothers on the Side and different songs, but they don't remember this first album. So I think I might give this to my mom so she can listen to it, because I would really love to hear what she thinks, my dad thinks, because it's truly an amazing sound when you consider this is 1971. This is in London. So they're not like in the funk genesis, if you could say so, during the development phase of it. They're not there. They're not in the US. So they don't get to see so-and-so here. They saw some people, of course, people who performed over there. James Brown was worldwide. But it's just amazing to hear like their ability to make this sound by being so far away from the direct interactions of like the funk originators. But it sounds like it flows so effortless into like that genre of music. But then you tap on, you know, a lot of funk songs wasn't using a flute. You know what I mean? A lot of them didn't have those like calypso drums. Like a lot of them didn't have those elements. So it sounds also, it sounds so different. And like, it just, it sounds, it doesn't sound like George Clinton. You know what I mean? Because George Clinton, when you think of psychedelic funk, which is this according to Wikipedia, that's what they genre to say. I don't know which would put this in because I feel like it's so, it's a mixture. You know what I mean? It's not Jimi Hendrix. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this album came out like literally a year after Funkadelic's Maggot Brain. So it does, like you said, it doesn't sound nothing like any form of funk that we may have known, but it finds us, it finds its own way to that genre by using other elements, which was super dope. Because one moment you might feel like you're diving into maybe a reggae song, but then it becomes a fucking funk song very quickly. Or like you might hop into an international folk song. And the title says something entirely different. So it's like there's so much, so many different ways that they were able to get to what people may consider funk on paper, but do it in such a way that makes it feel like this is music from them and makes it more international than anything, despite the fact I hate to say international, but in this, in this form, or in the, when it comes to this project alone, it has that international feel because there's so many parts of it being built, which is fire.
You know, I agree with you, everything you're saying. The only thing that I thought about is different was, I think I said this on the phone when we was getting ready, was like it sounds like African diaspora.
That's a good...
You know what I mean? We talked about like Fela, you talked about Bob Marley, you talk about, I don't know, this is Dennis Brown. I think this is before Dennis Brown, maybe during Dennis Brown or from like reggae era. Anything about the Parliament and Sly, you think about all those elements, and it's just like, I felt like this was a great mixture up because they were the immigrants, right? They came from Africa, they came from West Indies, they came from, you know, I mean, different elements of where like the African diaspora. So they had, you know, the American stuff that you was hearing, but also they had their own native music that they were listening to at the time. And I feel like it stacks and layers so well. Because you think about, like, we did Little Sims a few recently, and you felt like this felt like the same elements from Little Sims I got with that, and like how it felt so organic and natural. I got the same thing from this, but also it felt different because it has certain elements that American hip hop doesn't have from just being elsewhere and different elements of blackness. So, man, I really love this album. All of that to say, what is your number three?
Of course, you're gonna put me out there like that. So, my choice is Sion I. Rasta.
Great song. Beautiful song. Great opening. Talk about
out the gate. So I really like this song because this was the one that really made me say, okay, this is a different kind of group. Like, it was a whole different vibe that I wasn't expecting. And it was just like right out the gate. Very smooth, but it still kind of has like that South American kind of vibe, like the different breakdowns after they say, you know, the Zion I chorus, like the different drums that are being used. It didn't sound like anything that was like African necessarily. It had like some Hispanic vibes to it, even though they were saying Zion I, you know what I'm saying, which is a term that is mostly associated, well, that is normally associated with like reggae, you know what I'm saying? Of course, different artists are using Zion, you know what I'm saying, as the heavenly place. Now, of course, I don't know much about Rastafarianism, you know what I'm saying? So I can't really give you all game on that. But I do know a lot of reggae artists, they say Zion, and I hear it a lot, you know what I'm saying? Even Lauryn Hill said it. So the fact that, you know, the title itself kind of caught me, as well as the way that they sing the chorus. What I like is the breakdown that they have. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one that made me, okay, I'm digging this. And yeah, it was a beautiful combination of different elements that I liked about Zion I. But it was definitely something that reminded me like of a song that you would hear like at the beach and shit. You know what I'm saying? You're just vibing out. And to have it kind of go straight out the gate, it kind of gives you that island like vibe that you feel like you're on, you know, you're on another country listening to this song, you know what I'm saying, on another country's landscape. So yeah, this was dope. This was my third one. Yeah,
I love this song. I think it was a great opening. It felt like it was bringing everyone together as an intro, like if it was like people in the village or like a welcoming type feel, like you're welcoming someone into a community, like a party, like a gathering. It felt very like communal because the way it's like this repetitive lyric. It's not like a lot of lyrics. It's just like welcoming, opening. This beautiful opening. Instrumental wise, that bass throughout the whole thing is just mesmerizing. You get stuck on the bass. Just behind the scenes, it's not heavy. It's not overburdened, but that bass is just. Is streamed, is consistent. It is just kind of like it has this undertone that's lays very perfectly over the drums, and there's different kind of drums. You even hear like the thing you shake. I can't remember the name escapes me. The thing you shaking with the drums, you kind of can hear that. But then like the drums, right? You hear like the, you know, the standard drums, but then also you hear like calypso hand drums. Yeah, man, I just think that it was a great opening. It was very communal feeling, embracive, and I think like the drum, like the entire sound behind it, it just flowed so well, and it kind of also like envelopes you because it's like a slow build, even though it's a consistent chant. So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song.
Straight out the gate too.
Straight out the gate. They get you ready for it.
And it doesn't like you like a lot of times. I know a lot of times on here when we talk about the intro, like a lot of the intros that we choose are like bangers, like right there. But sometimes you don't always need that. Sometimes the more relaxed, more chill shit actually gets you what you need. So yeah, that part.
So my turn. Okay.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with Rickshaw. I think I really like this song. I think initially when you hear it, it sounds like a blaxploitation interest song, like a car chase or like a fast moment in a blaxploitation song, which a lot of songs like this were being used for at the time. So I can imagine watching a Jim Kelly film or whatever, and you see a scene and you hear, might hear this, because that's what I first heard. That's what it sounded like. But man, the flute that they use, it's just you follow the flute the entire time. Like, it keeps the pace going. It's like rapid. It's kind of like makes you start moving a little bit. It's similar to like that bass from Zion I. It's that one thing for me that just strung the whole song together. It's consistent. It flows well, and it builds the anticipation throughout the song. I love Rick Shaw. It's like a player, 70s player song too. Like, you about to walk in. It is a song that stuck with me if I listened to this over and over.
Yeah. I like the drums that start out the beginning. Like, I like the fact that, like, it kind of still has that same vibe, but then it turns a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It becomes that funky shit that, like, you're not really expecting, because you already had a lot of songs already kind of give you international vibe, but then you get this shit that goes, like, really hard. I like that guitar. That guitar is fire to kind of doom, 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 doom. Like, that shit is cold. I also like the little high temps. Definitely a sign of its times, but the way that they use it is still funky. And for me, if you got really good guitar riffs, oh, man, you already made me a fan of your work. And the fact that they are able to do it in such a really smooth way, but still have energetic, like, tempos and different breakdowns in between, still complex. Like, it made this song really special for me. You know what I'm saying? Definitely something that I would listen to on the move. It's very cool. It definitely, like you say, it reminds me of, like, blaxploitation. Yeah, this shit. This,
like, the car chase. That's what it reminds me of. The car
chase. Yeah.
Even how
definitely card.
Even how it builds with the drums, like you said, and I would just—it's like a slow, just the bass, doom, doom, and just the bass.
Yeah.
You know, you can imagine like a scene, and then you imagine something else have like a climax piece, and you run out the building, you hop into the car, then the drums kick in, and it's just like, oh my god, it sounds so amazing. And it's that steady bass again, like it was in Zion I, the steady bass throughout. And then you kind of use there's no words on the song, but the flute kind of gives you the feeling of the words, because it kind of go up and down, and it changes tone. It's truly remarkable. Because when you watch it, they say, I think on the interview or somewhere I read, they all weren't like super trained at the highest level of musician or whatever the case. Some of them had some training, some of them were just kind of like self-taught, so it was in between. But man, it flows so beautiful. And to be honest, we get together for really like a year. It came out in 72 and they started in 71. It's so, so impressive. It's so impressive.
Yeah.
You can really hear it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great choice.
Yeah. That flute was fucking it up too, man. God damn, it was getting down. Yeah. Like, shit, especially during that breakdown in the middle of the track. Oh my God. Killing that shit.
It's so hard with songs like this because there's no words, so you have to keep the person. I'm saying they added those jazz. It sounds like Miles Davis was great at that, but where it's like a party or it's energetic, but he's using his trumpet and jazz, no words, to get people moving and stuff like that. Like Miles Davis making people was partying to Miles Davis in the 60s. Miles Davis was in the 50s. He was like, cut that Miles Davis on, go to the club.
And I never, I like the fact that we mentioned the flute, because I haven't heard anybody command it like that, compared to, like, the only person I have seen that is Bobby Humphrey. I hope I said his name correctly. But, like, there's a lot of projects that I heard from Bobby Humphrey where he uses that flute to kind of command the song. We'll be right back. So the fact that I'm hearing this, and I'm not quite sure if this came out before or after Bobby Humphrey, but at least around the time, like, you got to be a real monster if you know how to kill the flute like that. You know what I'm saying? Especially the jazz flute. Come on now.
What is your next one?
My next one is, wait for it, Raw.
Okay.
I like this shit. I like it. Reminds me of, like you said, a blaxploitation film, but they actually got people singing and shit in it. And it definitely also gives me James Brown vibes.
Yeah,
like this sounds like something that his band can actually play in the background. But yeah, instead of it being James Brown, it's these guys. But I like that they, with this album in general, they're able to kind of mix straight up jazz with like more soulful songs like this. And this one caught me off guard because I was like, all right, this is going to be a straight up jazz album. I'm completely down. But when I heard this, this was a bright spot of the album. It has that same consistency when it comes to like showing different elements of other genres across the world. And then on top of that, they got soulful kind of like voices and shit like that. Shout out to that sax too, because that sax was also killing it too. That was dope to have like a solo for the saxophone. Shit was fire. And the breakdowns in between was cold as fuck too. Like, I gotta include that.
Yeah, you really can hear like, I don't know, like the feeling that you're trying, I don't know what the title means. I don't get that at all.
But yeah, me neither.
It's a great song. Like it's all right. Do, do,
do. But it's all right. Trump
that you can hear in the background. It's so like again, like I don't really know. I wish I knew more about this group because these songs, like it just like I feel like I heard it in a commercial one time. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I feel like I heard this song on a commercial.
Was it does sound like this could be on a commercial. I'm not sure. To be. Let's look. Let's find out.
It really had to be because it's sounded like a commercial. All
right.
Dun, dun, dun. You go. Yeah, I feel like this was a commercial, and I wouldn't be surprised because it is a very like pop sounding popular music. When it does not sound the same as like this first song you pick, which is like Zion, which is more like, I don't know, Calypso or like African influence more so than this. This feels more like Sly. Yeah. This feels like, doesn't I feel like Parliament? It feels like Sly. It feels like, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like James Brown. It feels more so just like, I don't know what kind of funk that was called, Sly and the Family Stone, but it sounds like a Sly Family Stone-esque song. I love this song.
Yeah.
It's a great pick.
Now, I can't find where the commercial came off of yet, but I do know that so far they have had music used for commercials. Their song Combo was used for Cargo Roots. According to, well, let me see. According to iSpot.tv. Now, don't trust that. I don't know if that's true or not. But hey, if the facts is out there, the facts are out there. So yeah, don't trust that quote. I digress. Like, I think like this does have that pop element. I think that's probably what got me into it, because it sounds so 70s without being like in the middle of the 70s, like, which is crazy, because like you didn't necessarily have like a sound. Well, I'm not gonna say like at that time. Like, I think we had a conversation before, like recording, about how the 70s had so many different runs throughout the times. You know what I'm saying? But to hear something like this and note that it was at an early time, 72. And to hear something like this, it felt like it was genre defining in some ways.
Yeah, you don't hear about them. You hear about George, you hear about Sly, you hear about all the Jimmys, but it's so fascinating that they're kind of left out. And maybe because their impact was not the same, because they kind of stopped so abruptly, and you kind of saw what happened to Jimmy's, what a fortunate story, but then Parliament lived on through Snoop Dogg, because they were still around and still active in the Senate third. So it makes you interested, like, if they don't break up, maybe their story is told differently, or maybe they're remembered in a different way. But maybe it's them breaking up. And then also, again, not being breaking up and still being in America, breaking up and being in London. So it's not like they had like features and other artists that everyone was popular here. So maybe for us, it didn't resonate the same. I don't know. But it was. I don't know, man. I really like the song, though.
it's funky.
Yeah, it's a funky. The whole joint is. The whole album is.
Yeah.
I think for me, my next one, my second one is Listen.
Listen, brothers. This has got a lot to do with it. And my sister. So that's concern you too. You waste your time hanging around with all those freaks out there in town, not knowing all the time they're laughing at you like a clown, laughing at you like a clown. Time is right now, right now. No time to waste, my friend. You gotta act now, act now. Come around, one day you'll see people who treat it as their destiny. It's nothing so strange, my friend. Only folks who wanna be just men.
Okay. It feels one, they're telling like a, it's like a social awareness, listen brothers, listen sisters, just that and the third. But the bass is addictive, because it's set like this very like monotone beat they're developing, and it's very like deep, like they're about to not preach but talk to you like they want to draw you in, like a like not horror like I want to say horror, but not really horror like, but more like lower level, deeper. I'm not sure what the right word is, but
yeah,
they bring you in that, and then the drums kick in. And listen, if I don't know, felt like Shaft, it felt like
Dead Presidents.
It felt like I don't know. It felt very much. It felt like this whole album kind of felt like it felt very like funk like and different inspired. This felt more James Brown. This felt more. I don't think it had the same. Again, I refer to Zion a lot because I think Zion is, you can feel that those elements throughout this album. I feel like this, similar to the song Bro, which sounds so in the same vein as Sly, this sounds more so, because I don't consider James Brown psychedelic funk. Right?
Not at all.
But you listen to The Boss, you listen to I'm the Son of a Man, and don't think that Rob King. You listen to songs like that. Yeah. That is not psychedelic funk, but it inspired every group back in the day was through James Brown, and it felt like that level, and that's funk or that's I don't know, that's early rock. That part of James Brown is just for sure. James Brown is a big. Yeah. He started kind of levels of elements of R&B, levels of funk, and levels of rock.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. That's my point.
I was going to say, I think James Brown is definitely, he's definitely the godfather of funk. Like, I ain't going to even hold you, bro. Like, I feel like when it comes to his sound, even with Sex Machine, the fact that he was able to make a song and also have the production of what eventually became Parliament Funkadelic, I think, aside from the Cinemax document series that mentioned that shit, people don't really know about that. So it's it's crazy how he's really like the godfather of funk. Like, I know they, he found a way to kind of like indirectly help create it, despite the fact that, you know, he was mainly soul. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, going back to this song though, specifically, I thought that
really quick, for James, just some James Brown, I gotta say, James Brown really might be the godfather to most modern music.
I agree. Even the showmanism is top notch.
Yeah, he might be the god. Hip hop early records they were sampling back in the 70s, but there's a lot of James Brown stuff, a lot of samples in the 80s was James Brown. The records they was playing at these parties, similar to this album, was James Brown records. Yeah. Rock and roll, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones have all said James Brown was a major, major, major influence to them. James Brown might be, if you look like the roots, I'm sure he had his own influences, but yeah, James Brown. Gotta say, I had to just hit it, but go ahead, finish your point. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. That is, I completely agree with that. Like, I definitely got to agree with that, because we wouldn't have entertainment if it wasn't for James Brown, especially when it comes to the musical aspect and the fact that he was such a show, like a showmanist, you know what I'm saying? And then also made careers for people, like built careers for people by, you know, whether having them on a project or like just influencing people to kind of find their own way, but still have that same level of showmanism when it comes to kind of bringing the audience in to your music. So yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. Like, OG for sure.
Back to the song. Finish your point. Yes.
Listen was definitely dope. It definitely gave me Dead Presidents vibes. Like the dark and sinister side of the 70s. Mm. But once again, this shit is very early on in the 70s, throughout in the decade. So it's like, it's genre defining for sure. It's and I just like the fact that once again they're using vocals in this song. Like, of course they used it in different ways throughout the other songs, but this one, the production is very low key. It's very dark and sinister, and what's guiding you throughout this entire song is what they're telling you, the game that they're trying to sprinkle on. So yeah, this one was definitely dope for sure.
I agree 100%. With that being said, what is your final selection?
Oh man. Oh man, why you doing this? Why you doing this to yourself, dog? Why come on now? Come on now.
Sure, final. I think it might be the same one though. I'm really interested to see. I really want to know what this is, because if it's the same one, it's gonna be really cool. I think it is though.
It's probably gonna be the same one. It's
what
Dove.
You got?
Dove.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dove. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one that pulled me in. That's the one that the one that pulled me in from the beginning.
One that made me say, oh, I'm listening to this album. And that was honestly one of the first songs I heard. Like, I heard like the guitar riffs, how that's done, like the way that it switches over to like a funky beat, you know what I'm saying? The different riffs of the bass, you know what I'm saying? Doom 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 doom. That bass line is crazy, and then you got the guitar riff over that.
Yes,
like,
you do.
That
gives just sprinkling it. Just sprinkling that. Just sprinkle right on top over the bass, right over the bass. And then you see the guitar riff just killing it. Yeah, oh my god,
killing it, amazing. Man. Like they were just going in on that shit, man. And it's long. This song is long as hell. This is a pivotal time, like a pivotal point in this time where everybody was like making their songs long as hell. But you know what? It's 10, well, 11 minutes. It's 11 minutes worth of your time, because you could just keep this on and then just go live your life. But it soundtracks shit so beautifully. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
beautifully.
Yeah.
Like,
this,
go ahead.
They call it Dove because it's supposed to be like peace, and because doves represent peace and happiness. I think somebody said. And I listened to my car, and my son was like, are they saying they love the dough? Because it kind of says, I love the love the dough.
Yeah.
I was like, that'd be a fire
sample. Well, then you know.
Yeah, and I loved it. Loved it though. That's pretty cool. You said that. I said that would be a great sample.
Yeah,
it's called Dove. They love the Dove. They love peace and happiness. I think it was beautiful. It kind of flows into the message of some of the 70s music we'll hear afterwards. It reminded me a lot of like early Santana. Stuff like that. It
yes.
A lot of Santana. I love Santana. I actually play Santana because I listen to this.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It. You said it. You said it's a long song. It's the longest song on the album, I think. Oh, I think I'm right about that. And this is the song that I heard on my playlist or whatever, my little, like, you know, things you might like, whatever they call it. This is the song that I heard, and I was like, damn. We might have to do this album. And I just listened to this song once or twice, and I played the whole album. And I Googled the group, and I've never heard of this group before. And I feel like I wish I did. And I asked my parents, and they were like, oh, I don't really know. And my mom knew a little bit about it. My dad was like, I really don't remember that much. And I texted you, and I was like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And you said, that's fire. I was just listening to Brothers the other day, and I was like, oh, that's fire. Kind of perfectly... It perfectly aligned itself, which was pretty cool. It felt like it was the right song. But Dove is such a beautiful, encapsulating song. The chant is repetitive and it's not like too wordy, but they just say the same thing and it becomes the guitar riffs. Plus, we love the love the Dove. It feels hypnotizing in a sense.
Yeah.
To where after the song is over, it's like that's that part it's stuck in your head. You walk around just like, oh, duh, 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 duh. Like it becomes repetitive because it's so hypnotizing the way it is over the calming bass and those guitar riffs that's really like just getting you like, oh, that sounds amazing. It is beautiful how they aligned all of these sounds. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't agree any less. Like that shit. Like, that shit is beautiful. I love that. I love that, like, song. Like, best song off the album, easily. You know what I'm saying? And then it caught me off guard because we just listened. Well, we didn't just listen to it, but, like, two seasons ago, we listened to The Fugees.
Yep.
And this song was sampled by The Fugees.
Yep.
And helped create the score, the title track off of the title album.
Can I say that's what I miss about, I don't want to sound like the old dude on the porch. I'll preface this because I know I'm about to.
Oh, you better sound like a Republican real quick.
That is what I miss from sampling. We should say something like a Republican. That's what I miss from sampling. I miss sampling where you don't know it is a sample. Because they're using a portion of a song as an instrument. When I went back and played the sample, I'm like, yo, did not even know that was a sample. I thought that was a bass. I thought that was something else. And I don't know what it is or what's needed, but I feel like so many samples are other songs with new drums or new this or new drum. It's like the thing we say about like a movie being remade. They just remaking beats and people are rapping over it, and the memory of what that song meant to you is why you like this new song, and not because this new song is always nice. And I think what Wyclef did, and what, it wasn't just Wyclef, it was also John and I can't remember the other guy Wyclef on this, because I looked it up because I have the vinyl. You don't know it's a sample. We listen to the score, yeah, and you play the sample, you're like, oh shit, I would have never known it was a sample.
Yeah. Yeah. I do kind of miss that. Like, a lot of times, like, I think that's what made me want to go back to listening to older music, because a lot of times I'll just stumble across a sample. And there are artists that you know, still samples like that. Like, you know, Alchemist, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got Griselda that's like using samples and stuff like that, but it's not as frequent. And I do agree with what you're saying. There's definitely like a lot of like people using old music to just mainly recreate it and then flip it a little bit, but not even in a creative way, but because they got the rights to the music, they can kind of flip it and make it something that's theirs. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It's cool to sound in the club, but it doesn't give you that same kind of like value that something that is original can actually give you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or even if it's sampled, at least like, even Patrice Rushen said this shit, like, at least like be creative with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Stretch it out a little bit. Flip the tempo. Maybe flip the pitch.
Don't take the same beat. Take an element of the beat, which Wyclef did. He took out that bass. I think it's the bass.
Yeah.
He didn't take out everything. He took out that one piece. He might even redid it himself.
Yeah.
And credit it as a sample, because it really is. He probably even redid it, but just did it in the same tone and used it for this beat. But I think the level of musicianship is missing, though. I think a lot of these kids grew up with just making beats on PS2 generator. No disrespect. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
PS2 generator, and they got these little computers, and maybe that those certain elements of sampling is different. It's easy to just download the beat of something else and just like strip it down. I really don't know. I wish that was like someone who could, I could talk about this, really figure this out. But
I mean, it's kind of easier to get it out. I mean, yeah, as somebody that kind of make flips and stuff.
But I wonder if the economics is why, if the economics is of just music in general, if music sampling is you're sampling a percentage of a song or just you're sampling the song, period, the price is the same. So if you're sampling the full beat, is that the same as just sampling the bass? Or redoing the bass to where it sounds similar, where you could technically sue me. So can I just pay you 5%? Or is it like, oh, you're taking your, what's Youngberg new name, where he just flips songs over again? Whatever that new dude is. Like his like that dude. He just taking songs that we already know and just redoing the shit.
Yeah.
Do they pay more? I don't know if economics thing. I really don't know. So it doesn't really matter.
I think in some cases it really depends on like the person that holds the rights to the music.
Yeah.
Because they could charge you fucking anything. You let's say hypothetically somebody who may be a musician that is indie and owns the rights to their own music, they're for like, don't even worry about it, bro. I got you.
Yeah, that's a good
but when point. It comes to these big record labels, they won't even look in your direction to use their music.
It sucks though, because kids are missing out, because they could really be sampling some of these records and create better hits, in my opinion. I think they're so talented with like technology, how they make beats. I think if they just knew some of this music existed, they could do some really cool stuff. And I don't know how to fix that, but whatever.
Yeah.
But back to the album, what were your thoughts on the entire album and reflecting on it and stuff like that?
This album was dope as hell, man. Like, I'm flabbergasted at how dope this album was. Mm-hmm. And I had no clue about it. Like, of course, Brothers on the Slide. Come on, man. It was on Snowfall. Like, and then I heard it, and then, like, once again, I was going to get some ramen, kind of been on the ramen bench lately, and I just happened to hear this in the background, and it's the second time, and I'm like, oh, well, second time hearing this band, so to actually take a dive into their shit and hear this amazing goodness, and to also understand that the date that this came out, or the year that it came out, it was still when the decade was kind of building upon itself musically. Like, this is a classic and a gem. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And definitely something that I would want to have in my vinyl collection because it's very historical. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of interested in, I know that they got a documentary coming out soon. I'm really interested in seeing, like, what happened to them.
Yeah.
Because they made three albums.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm starting to kind of dig into their other albums, but, like, a lot of that shit is fire. And it, of course, has been sampled by De La Soul, mm-hmm. the Fugees, and then also other artists in different genres. So, what caused them to stop?
Yeah.
And I'm interested in seeing that once the documentary comes out.
Me too. I think it's going to be a great documentary. Because once you learn about them, you want to see what happened. And it looked like most of them are still living. It looked like they were still, like, able-bodied because they just started touring again from their website. So it's cool. They're still around. They started touring a few years ago. I think they did, like, Bonnaroo or whatever, something like that, which would have been amazing.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, they did some festival. And they're going to hopefully come to America soon because I would love to see them live. They were talking about it. They didn't talk about the breakup piece. And I was like, I really don't want to know what was the reasoning. And they have some other albums out there that's not really, like, well, it's not on streaming. It's like, you got to find it. So I'm going to find some of that stuff. I've seen a couple of different things on different websites with them on it, like sessions and like an album that was recorded in the 70s, didn't really drop out, came out later in the 80s, even though it was recorded in the 70s. I don't know, crazy stuff like that. What I really liked about this was on the surface level, I love the entire African diaspora being displayed. So you have African influences, like I said earlier. I'm sure they have Fela Kuti influences and they had like Ginger Johnson influences. And I feel comfortable saying they were inspired by, you know, Bob Marley in the 60s and his transition to the 70s and other reggae artists at the time. But also, they probably saw, you know, Stan, which is Sly, which is the late 60s, and they probably saw early Parliament and James Brown. And it's amazing that these kids from different parts of the diaspora, some from Africa, some from the Caribbean, they kind of became their own mesh of, like, these influences, but then also added the things that they listening to and made an album that kind of, in my opinion, connects so much of the African diaspora musically, which we don't see. We do see today. That's not fair. We do see today. I think it is underappreciated by Americans, Black Americans especially, specifically. And that's why I want to see a documentary, because they are getting hella love when they were here. They were going on tours of Al Green and different people, and it was getting played at parties. And it was somewhat sampled different places. I think them breaking up and not being able to, like, tell their full story and so forth and so forth kind of hindered how the history books look back on them. When they were out in the 70s, like, they were touring in America, they were doing numbers in America, they was hitting U.S. charts, they were selling, they were doing stuff. So there was, like, a lot of love for them. Which leads me to today, where I feel like there's a disconnect from a lot of American hip-hop fans and Black music fans in U.K., Black music fans. I feel like the Caribbean is different because maybe there are more Caribbean people represented throughout Black America here. I think UK people, UK Black America is a weird thing. I'm not saying this is like a blanket statement. There are wonderful elements where each people show love. My man LB, True Laurels, he was the main one who I know from
shouts.
From a person who I follow musically, journalism, just as a, you know, person you see growing up here and you see him in the music scene and stuff like that, and there, who I really think is one of the best people, some of the best music taste in all of music. Yeah.
One of the best music journalists, too.
Period.
Like, let's get,
he's the man. Not only because you're Baltimore, because he's the man. And I think he was the one back in the day really bigging up African artists and, like, British artists and a bunch of other stuff. And he put me on to a lot of people by him sharing out what his taste is. I will look them up and I will do that. That's how I got into Dave. He was posting Psychodrama. He loves Psychodrama, I think, I'm assuming, just on his post. And I would listen to it like, oh, I love Dave. And then Dave came out with Central C last year. And that's one of my favorite projects last year. And different people, like Burna Boy, and the love that he should be getting kind of gets, doesn't get, his whole other conversation. But
yeah,
I feel like there's some disconnect. I think that's bigger than us. I think that's bigger than music. I think that's a part of, you know, colonialism and, you know, racism and slavery trade and everything else.
Xenophobia.
Yeah. So it's rampant. It's big. That's why I think it's so massive. And I want to hear that story more, because they were embraced, and it was beautiful to see Black people embraced. I think, especially in the 70s, there was more willingness and wanting to for Black people in the diaspora to connect on a deeper level. You had the Mandelas, and you had, you know, the Lumumbas, and you had the people. And it was more of a connectiveness, where we were connected as people. And I think some of that is gone. And it was beautiful to see this album, which was just so, it was just connecting, man. It was amazing, man. You felt like, you know, I mean, you listen to every element of the Black diaspora that's displayed through this album. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I love it. I love it because it, this, I was telling you before, like this, I think this is one of the albums that made me want to like actually travel a little bit more. Because it takes you to so many different places, but you're still in the same place.
Yep.
And like, once again, the fact that this album came out before, well, it came out a year after Megabrain, so I do give it, you know, that. But at the same time, it came out before so many pivotal projects dropped that followed this sound and be kind of followed like the origins of it. Like, this so, it's such a pivotal project and such an amazing project to go back to. I'm definitely going to throw this into the whip. Like, just randomly, you know what I'm saying? Especially if it's a nice day, it's starting to get warmer outside, you know what I'm saying? Despite the fact that it's been cold all this week. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I kind of want to give this some bump, bro. Like, for sure. Definitely a good choice. Great choice.
Yeah, I'm happy that it came across and that I listened to it and I really gave it a shot and I really fell in love with it. I really am trying to expand different elements of music for myself and challenge myself more. So listening to this was big, but I really enjoyed it. I love it. It helped me, influenced me, and gave me new leads and stuff like that to jump into. And I am most definitely planning on finding the debut album and Samande, and hopefully getting it as my vinyl, hopefully an original one, but I'll take a duplicate if I have to. The duplicates are really cool. They're orange. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh,
the cover is fire. So the cover also brought me into it. I saw the cover and like, ooh, that cover looked dope. Like, I would love to have that cover on my wall. It looked fire.
Yeah.
So the cover of the song kind of like brought me in. So I'm trying to find an original one for the Lowski if I can out here. So boom.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful album, man. I can't wait for the next one. This was so much fun.
Yeah, this was fun as hell, man. Good
as
choice.
Always, Vance, we gotta end it off with, what are you listening to? Besides diving into some Samande, what have you been listening to?
All right, so I definitely have been listening to Future and Metro's project.
Ooh.
We Don't Trust You.
Ooh, that was something
special.
Come
on now. It was.
He's on a run, man. He is on a run.
Oh my God.
He's on a run.
They're not playing, bro. They ready. Like, they out for blood. And it's crazy because, like, you would have thought all three of them guys, like Drake, Future, Metro, you would think they were cool. They made projects in the past. But nah. Like, and then the fact that they got Kendrick on the fucking, the Like That Joe. Oh, man, that was the one that got me.
Ooh, he was rapping his ass off on that verse, man. That
yes, he was.
Verse. I was like, ooh.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
But then they got other shit on there with like Playboi Carti and Travis Scott, like The Weeknd. Like, come
the
on,
the intro
bro.
Song
like,
is hard as hell. We Don't Trust You.
Shit, man. That, oh my gosh, they weren't fucking around, man. That shit was fire. So I definitely been banging that. This artist named Cochise, he got a song called Yoshimitsu. Definitely a banger.
This shoes match your pants, the pants match the belt match your shirt, the shirt match your skirt, and the skirt match the hat match your work. Them my touch it, niggas really classy at the circus. I can tell you never made no money cause you're nervous. Pull up on you, I might really close your curtains. Heard he tryna cop a plea, I told him it ain't working. Back at the back, made it back off the back end. Track after track, made it crack off the max 10. Rack after rack, put some racks on your back.
on your best friend, on your bestie. Pour some juice up in my cup, I'm feeling sexy. Shawty know I'm feeling good, I tell her text me. Thanking God for every minute that he blessed me.
Okay. Cover's weird too, but that shit slapping.
I know, I heard of him before. Yeah, he be with He be with It's going to kill me. I can't remember it, but he be with somebody who I've seen before. Yeah.
I stumbled across his music because my Spotify Discover Weekly. It just happened to play his stuff, and I'm like, oh, this shit fire. I sent it also to a homie, so that was pretty cool. I listened to Gary Clark and Stevie Wonder's new song. They dropped a song together.
I did not know that.
It's called What About the Children? This is literally the first song that I heard Gary Clark Jr. in.
Really? Oh, you got some great albums, man.
I always see this dude, and he always make really dope shit. But then I never get to the album. I don't know where to start. You know what I'm saying? It's like a really good anime.
He has he has George Clinton on his album too.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I'm playing this tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh man.
With him, start with Black and Blue. It came out in 2011, I think. He got some.
Oh, wow.
I think we got a song on there. It's called Come Home, something like that. That's my favorite song on there. So he got some joints on there. It's rock. Country-esque. Also enjoyed his he has a live album that he put out that I really enjoyed, and he has a couple joints on I don't know what it's called, but it's red. So it's red like a bus on it, like a I can't think of what it's called. It's red. The cover is red. It got like a bus. Anyway, get a couple songs in there that I like. But yeah, start with Black and Blue. That's his first big tape. I don't hear one before that, but Black and Blue is what I saw listening to him. Gary Clark Jr. got some joints. I didn't know he put an album out.
He dropped mixtapes?
He might have. I could be wrong. I remember he had some singles. That was like, he was in the blog era. That's why he was on Two Dope Boys, I feel like, when I first heard about him.
It makes sense because I know that he was already on like BET stages like back in like 2013. Like I know that it was like a big tribute that I saw him and I was like, who the fuck is that guy? Like he looked cool as shit. And then he started playing and I was like, oh, he's good. And then I kept seeing him at like these award events and I'm just like, who is this dude? And every time I get to his catalog, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna listen to it, and I never listened to it until now. So definitely, I'm gonna really dig into his catalog because I know I've missed a lot. Who else? Let's see. Four Bats. I've definitely been listening to Four Bats.
See his freestyle today.
Yeah. No. Wait.
Put one on a radar. On the radar. It's not a freestyle. He'd be lying. It's a song, but it's a he got a Damn, a 90s R&B sample in the back. It's fire.
What?
Yeah, I can't think of the song to save my life. Can you sweat, Mimi?
Okay.
Oh, no, my town. Oh, he got a sample that slipped his cell fire. Yeah, Four Bats.
Yeah, I was listening to Act 2, Date at 8. That thing was fire, man. Like, I had that shit on repeat.
Act
2? My homegirl. Yeah. So, here's the thing. With Four Bats, So it's called Act 2, Date at 8. Like, I didn't know I was listening to his music, but I heard a flip that I liked to hear his voice over. Like, it was over another beat that was pretty, like, chills. I'm like, oh, I like this. And then my homegirl, shout out to you, Lovely, like, she told me about, like, Four Bats. And I was like, Four Bats? And we went to the actual song. I was like, oh, shit, like, I heard this song before, but I didn't hear it the way that it was set up. Like, I didn't hear the original. I just heard the flip. Man, I heard that, John, and I was like, oh, this is fire. Especially that slowdown at the end. You know what I'm saying? It was dope. Like, I want to hear more from this dude, so I'm definitely going to get that on the radar freestyle and listen. But, man, I had Act 2 on repeat, man.
Yeah, that, he got that, some joints.
That shit is, like, yeah, he got that shit on him. Yeah. Mad Villain. Definitely was listening to that.
It just turned 20, right?
Yes. I have the album here in the crib.
That's fire.
In the crypt.
Vinyl? Disc?
Nah, CD. Yeah, okay. CD.
Man, that's still, you know, legendary.
Yeah. I had to do a lot to get it back because I let my neighbor hold it. I trust my neighbor. I love my neighbor. Back at the old house, but he was jamming to it. He was like, "Yo, can I use this for a second?" I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, here you go." And like, yeah, he had to copy a lot of the songs off of there for his phone. So yeah, this album was fire. And it definitely, the samples and stuff that it was being used, like, I still bang with the fact that they sampled Atlantic Star Second to None. Mm. It's like one of my favorite songs. Like, some favorite old school songs. Because I heard Flamingos' Flip It too. And it made me go back to it. So the fact that they also sampled it like long before Flamingos, so I was like, oh, this is dope.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the debut grand opening of Mad Villain Bistro Bed and Breakfast Bar Grill Cafe Lounge on the Water, where we offer you the finest and the finer things. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days.
How do you do?
Yeah. Live on the beats, we have the one and only Mad Lib.
How do you do?
We also have King Ghidra on the mix. Yesterday's new quintet is here. Victor Vaughn, Quasimodo, and I'm your host, the supervillain. No, just lay back and have a good time. Enjoy the music, you know what I'm saying? I like to dedicate this next joint to my man's.
So yeah, a lot of Mad Villain, like, in the playlist right now. This dude named RX Poppy.
Prescription right, Poppy?
I guess so. I guess that's his name. But his name is RX Poppy. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. He got hit and misses. But the one that made me, like, show up and listen to more of his stuff was The Root of All Evil.
Oh, wow.
It samples For the Love of Money by Bone Thugs and Harmony. And I also found out that this is like a song that kind of had like this little TikTok wave as well. Because I saw some people use like the actual song, like something ain't adding up. Like, I've seen people use that. So it made me want to go back to the actual song. And I heard the song. The song was fire. But he got hit and misses. He's definitely a new, like a new wave kind of rapper, like definitely of the 2020 era.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he makes a lot of his beats, they're very floaty and mm-hmm. airy. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like that, the cloud kind of vibes.
At
one point we were banging with, but it just done in a new, like a newer way for a new generation. So it's not bad. It's not that bad. But The Root of All Evil was the one I was like, oh, this shit fire.
I'm gonna check it out.
You got some bangers. Yeah. I listened to Mama's Gun.
Oh, wow. I had to go back to that.
Great album. Started out with Times of Wasting, and then I just started, like, just playing it randomly and just letting it flow. You know what I'm saying? Great album. It's a great album. Physical Graffiti by Led Zeppelin.
Mm.
I got the album on vinyl, put the vinyl in rotation, and then I've also been playing it at work. Definitely a really, really dope ass rock album that has some funk influences embedded in between it. I could see why my dad really liked it. I was going through the Dale playlist as well. If you don't know Dale, they're pretty Dale. Oh wow, that's close to another thing. So Dale, I guess they're the group that originally had this young man that became a music mogul called Babyface.
Oh wow.
Yeah, they made I Only Think of You
mm-hmm.
on two occasions.
But that was Babyface. I didn't know that.
And day and night. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I think he wrote it. But he definitely
I thought it was him. I thought it was him by himself. I didn't know it was a group.
Yeah, it was a group. Because I remember seeing multiple people on the cover. I was like, oh, damn, okay. So, yeah, I definitely went back to a playlist that had a ton of shit on there. Really dope shit. Don't Stop by One Way. I found out that this song has been sampled by rappers too. Caught me off guard. A lot of Lakeside on there. Deborah Loss. The song Feeling Special Love is life is loving. Feeling special. Did not know that. Shout out to you, Sylvia. She put me on to that song. And then it has some Sky on there. Like, I've been banging Call Me if you need someone to talk to. And then last but not least, the last two I have is Sade, Diamond Life, and Dirty Nachos, Chief Keef and Mike Will. Because I had to end it on that note. That shit was fire.
I just want to say, I too have that on my list because I'm also playing Dirty Nachos. I haven't even been in the gym, and it's amazing to listen to.
Yes. Can't play that work.
Cannot play that work.
Cannot play that work.
I listened to Sir album. I think it got lost in the future Kendrick stuff. Sir album is so fire. It is so great. He put it out on the same day as Future. He got some joints on there. He's also independent this year, so this album. So I don't know if that's changing like the promotion.
Yeah.
Still on TDE, but independent through TDE. I think TDE is on like the 300 type thing where they're trying to build on the independent releases. I don't know what they're doing. But he's not on like a major. I feel like he was in the past. I could make it up. I really don't know. But anyway, this joint, heavy is fire.
Get on my nerves, man, this shit just don't excite me. Swerving off the curb in the corners ain't exciting. Pussy on my phone, man, this shit just don't excite me. Out here on my own, ain't too many others like me.
Changing the sounds, did a feature, got a feature from Ty Dolla $ign, a great song with him and Anderson .Paak is wonderful. Absolutely an amazing verse. And songwriting is good as it ever is. I think TDE has amazing songwriters, and Sir is definitely on that list.
Yeah.
Yusef Dias, he got a couple tapes. He got a single joint he put out, but also earlier this year he put out a Yusef Dias Experience, which is like a live album.
Yeah.
Came out early this year. I've been playing that. Also, I still play his black classical music all the time. Stunner Man, Eat a Salad, bitch, nigga, Eat a Salad. It was like a viral song. It really stuck with me to listen to some of his stuff. Still Winning and Healthy Gas is too. Tyler album, played that joint. She got a song in there with Tim that I really like.
Okay, I'm leaving tonight. Okay.
teams.
I need to listen to that.
Teams.
I saw that drop.
She also had a song on there with Gunner. It's Skillabay that I really, really like.
Okay. That's really surprising.
Like. Yeah. What else?
She the girl that made, is she the lady that Water. Made Make Me Sweat?
Yeah. South Africa. Yeah.
Really?
I enjoy listening to that because also gave me some similar vibes as the Simande album because it was, you know, influenced by Nigerian music. It was influenced by stuff coming from UK, also influenced by American R&B traditionally, but also you could tell there was also its own South African sound. So it's I like stuff like that.
Okay, all right, shout out to you. Shit. You like? Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. Do you like On My Piano?
I'm getting more into. I didn't know that was what it was called. I'm getting more into it, but that is like a South African, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that South African?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yes.
I think she's even considered. That's her genre. I really don't know, but yeah,
I think she's kind of like the lead on that. You know what I'm saying? Because she's actually making music out of it. Yeah. I go to a lot of clubs and I hear it, and I hear like it's dope. Especially when they make On My Piano with like flips and stuff like that. That shit is fire. I just heard an On My Piano version of the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas theme.
Yeah,
this shit fire. So to actually hear vocals over it, like I think if she continued to make hits based off of that sound, like it could really take over. I mean, it's taking over now, honestly, but it could really go like national to a point.
Yeah, I think it depends on how the label, unfortunately, pushes this album and how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm still playing Blue Lips. I think it's probably my favorite album of the year.
Yeah, Future so far. Might
come past that. I'm still playing Flo Milli. I think Understand might be one of the best rap verses of the year. Still playing Tierra Wax. And still playing Sexy Red.
Shout out to the lady rappers. You feel me? Still out here being successful.
That's all I got, yo. I got to listen to some suggestions you gave me. It's some other new music that's came out. Beyonce is dropping soon, so
very soon.
I gotta listen to that.
It probably is gonna drop by the time this episode comes out
for sure. It's some other new joints I gotta listen to. Big Sean Powder record. Yeah, some other joints out there I gotta check out. So
did you watch Big Sean's Tiny Desk?
I did not, but I heard great things about it.
I'm kind of interested in seeing it because
everyone who opinions I value said he said it was really good.
You believe it too? Like he's actually at a point where he's kind of like an OG.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
Yeah.
He is. He gets the same thing Wale gets where they get left out and forgotten for whatever reason out of the big three. I mean, maybe they didn't become culture stars, I guess, like Drake, Kendrick, and
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think when it comes to those three, they got both the talent and they got the popularity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I feel like when it comes to Wale got more of the... He definitely has the talent. I'm not going to hold you. He definitely has the talent. Popularity, it wanes because of some of the controversial moments that he's had. But
I think Twitter don't like him. Partial social media don't like him, and I think that hurts his that has tainted his the rightful praise he deserves.
Yeah,
he has hit records.
He does.
He has a hit.
Great music too.
Hits like I think he got some number ones. Because I could have swore to someone Rihanna. Is it bad? I could have heard that joint. Now, maybe because we're in the DC area.
I don't think that's Rihanna. Yeah, I don't think that's Rihanna.
And she was on like the, they did a two single version where it was a version with her on it, but originally it wasn't her. It was Tierra something.
Yes, Tierra. I think it's Tierra Thomas. Oh shit. It was TT. You know what? Let me not say anything. TT.
It was two T's. I remember that. I got it. It was Tierra something. Anyway, I think Wiley doesn't get that. I think Big Sean doesn't get that either. Big Sean has big records. For whatever reason, they culturally didn't transcend to a level of stardom.
Yes.
Could be colorism because they only let one dark-skinned guy in. That was Kendrick. But also, I think Kendrick also... Mac said this. Shout out to Mac on Twitter, Craig. He also said that Kendrick does get some artist of the time praises because he puts out those songs during BLM and it lifts his profile. Even though he wasn't trying to, he was talking about his own battles with sobriety and his own battles and stuff like that. It became a song of the times. Thus, the way it's looked at is differently because of those reasons. And then Drake is, you know, a light-skinned Canadian that people love, so it's different.
massive records. Yeah. It also happens to sample J.
Cole,
Memphis
and
music.
J. Cole was Jay-Z's first... Yeah, and J. Cole was the Jay-Z's first person, had the Jay-Z push. Didn't quite live up to the standards at first, but eventually killed it. Dropped important albums of people pouring lives. So yeah, I think it's hard. I think it's really hard. But yeah, you're right.
Also,
bring suggestions. I was going to also say,
like, I'm looking at Wale's Billboard chart history. Just the top Billboard top 100 alone, he is not no number ones, no top tens.
Not even like an R&B number one.
Nah. Not that I'm seeing.
Maybe because we in the area. Oh, Wale has the only. Wale also has the only Lady Gaga feature.
He does have two number one hits in the Billboard 200, and he has four top 10 hits in the Billboard 200.
All right, so he got some joints. He got some joints.
Yeah, he got some.
I mean, shit. J. Cole ain't getting number one until he did the song with Drake.
Okay.
Was that his first number one? Yeah. I could be wrong. I'm making that up.
I did remember when that song went crazy, though. So, you know what I'm saying? You could be right.
And then Kendrick cooked him.
Yeah, he did. Okay, he got some banger. He got some number ones here. But it's on, like, the niche playlists. Like, the niche charts. You know what I'm saying? Nah, Wale. I'm just looking through his catalog. But when it comes to the Hot 100, nah, he not doing it. Which sucks, because, like I said, despite how I may feel about some of the things that he do, which is a little bit hot, like, he still does make great music. So, can't be mad at that.
Yeah, it's great, man. I hope Wale comes back out. I think we need Wale. Wale brings a level of originality that is missing from hip hop, black music. His albums are always original. I don't care what nobody say. You cannot say Wale albums sound like X. Every album is different than whatever is going out. Like, no one was making. Yes, Wale. We need Wale. Big Sean too. Yeah. Big Sean brings. Hopefully, if his music is similar. Big Sean's always brought a fun element to his music, that was whether it was humor or was hits, or was like fun songs that you enjoyed yourself. But he also gave you bars.
Yeah.
Repeat bars. So I do hope that we do get them back in some form or fashion sooner than later. Like Schoolboy. Schoolboy, something was missing, and I think he filled a void that we all needed.
Yep.
With that being said, thank you for listening all the way to this end. It has a great time. You're probably like 90 minutes in, which is crazy to hear us talk about music for that long.
Crazy.
Please follow us on all our socials, The Record Report, on everything. If you literally type in The Record Report, you're going to find us on every social media that matters. So Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Email us. Reach out to us if you have suggestions. We would love to have people on the shows. Thank you to all of our listeners on Spotify specifically. Because I can't read the Apple numbers. It's like I'm joking. I can, but Spotify is doing better than Apple. So shout out to them. It's really great that you're all like really tapped in and so engaged. We got to find some cool shit to do. And Vance, do all your shout outs, man. Tell them what's coming up new for them. Any new mixes, any new plugs, let us know. So you're right.
Mainly keep listening off the dribble, but I'm working on a practice. You know what I'm saying? I'm putting all the songs together for that. That's coming soon. And then I'm also working on Off the Dribble 21. So that's next one coming out. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep it going. Now I'm looking for the theme and stuff, trying to build out some of the playlists and shit. But the next mix that you should anticipate is Practice. And then also, like, I dropped the song. It's a beat. It's a flip, actually. It's a flip of Dear Chopper by MB Banks over Jamiroquai. So
that's fine.
Yeah. And it's smooth as hell, even though he's talking about very violent, mature graphic things. But
here's one way to describe it.
Yes, it's called Morning Choppa, and it's definitely on SoundCloud. So check that out.
Right.
And then other than that, just follow your boy Vance B underscore everything. What you talking about? We out here. Also, I'm out here if you want a DJ. So
yes,
hit my line.
You're killing it.
Thank you.
With that being said, thanks for another episode. Peace. See you next time.
Peace.
Soldiers, left, right, left, right.
It's time I
left,
settle the score.
Left, right, left, right, left, left.
It's time I
left,
settle the score. Ripple to the rum, rum to the ripple. Single, but the times I come in triple. Blah, blah, with the heater to your head, now you dead. White left, don't give a ooh if you're dead. Rock, rock, let me attack just like a black hat. You in the wrong neighborhood, check your map. You gotta go for backup to do what you gotta do. So you be back with Francie, you traitor in your crew is my foo-hee. He put poison in my tea and killed the toe, but I'll be back with Centipede. I'm on some new technique, drunk in bamboo. I'm taking all crews, what? Competition, stimulation for the rap man. Losers, check the tutors as I'm sucking on your girl hooters. Don't play macho cause you got the gun, so cause if you gotta reload.
Stop this. God damn, I got at the end. God damn.